Well, we bless you.
You did good, man. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. I have a lot of notes this morning. I have made a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to try to get in shape this year or lose weight. In fact, I'm going to try to gain as much as possible this year. I think I stand a better chance of actually fulfilling that. When I would like 1 year in my life to actually meet my goal. My goal this year is 300 pounds. And I want it to be all fat. I don't want any, no muscle. Striving for 90% fat. And I think I'm on my way. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad to be back in the land. It's one of my favorite places. In fact, I have a few friends that I go to often, and they're getting tired of me talking about the land. That's all right. I like it. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to have to hurry on here this morning because I have a 3-hour sermon. I've got to finish in 20 minutes. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. In the time of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. These were two godly people. Verse 7 says, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. That means they were old. Pastor Mike. They would have been, if they were writing about us, they'd be saying that about us. They're both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as the priest before the Lord. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. When the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks and will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his birth. Many of the people of Israel will he turn back to the Lord, their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and their disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can this be? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. He was a wise man. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for five months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said, in these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. An incredible story. I wish I had the time this morning to go into the setting where it is. It talks about being in the time of Herod. We know that this is shortly before the time when Mary is visited with the by the angel of the Lord and becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit to give the birth of Messiah Jesus. And this is the forerunner, the announcement of Zechariah. And just because of our restraints of time, I just want to kind of highlight a couple of things that I think are important. We see Zechariah coming before the Lord. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both godly people, both of the heritage of Aaron, both priestly families. It was the dream of every priest when their lot was chosen for them, their division to be on duty at the temple. There were so many priests, they divided up into 24 groups and they would be selected and they would come according to schedule. And it was the dream, it was the lifelong dream of one of the priests to be selected, that he would be the one that would go into the holy place. And there he would burn incense before the Lord. And the time came and Zechariah received the dream of a lifetime when he was selected to go into the holy place and there to burn incense before the Lord and at the altar of incense. And there on the one side be the golden candelabra, which was spoke of Jesus being the light of the world, and the table of showbread, this awesome atmosphere just before the veil of the temple. And behind the veil would be the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and in the past. And now it wasn't that way, but Zechariah is chosen to do this. It says they were godly people. And we pick up this story with the announcement of the angel of the Lord, who breaks the silence of 400 years of no notable voice from God. 400 years when heaven was silent. And that silence is broken by an angel of the Lord who repeats the very last prophecy made by a recognized prophet of Israel, that there was going to come one who would prepare the way for the Lord. 400 years of silence. I think about the many, many families in Israel, many couples, young couples that would have a son and hope that maybe this would be the one that would come to announce the Messiah, or this could even be the Messiah, and such hope. But 400 years had gone by when there was no voice and there was no message. 400 years of darkness, and there must have been many in Israel that had thought that God must have forgotten about us. Or God must have somehow broken down or failed, or God was no longer able to do it, or somehow God had lost interest, or maybe some of you are here this morning and felt that way. That you might have not had 400 years of darkness, but maybe it's been a year, or 5 years, or 10 years, or 20 years, and somehow the enemy has put thoughts in your mind. Maybe God has forgotten about me. Maybe God has given up hope, or maybe God has broken down, or maybe God is no longer able to do what he did back years ago. And there must have been something in the hearts of many people who thought that God somehow must have forgotten us. And then we come to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah born to godly priestly parents who have a son, and they name him Zechariah. The name Zechariah just means Yah remembers, or it's a shortened word version of the word Yahweh. Yahweh remembers. Yahweh remembers. Here is somebody living in the midst of 400 years of silence, and they have a baby boy, and they name him Yahweh remembers. There was something, it was almost a cry in their heart. It was something of a birth of faith that we believe that somehow God has not forgotten us in the midst of silence, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of no voice. They name a child Yahweh remembers. There was another couple who had a baby girl, and they named her Elizabeth, which just simply means the oath of God or the promise of God. It was another one of those cries from the heart that God, in the midst of darkness, there is still the promise of God. And in God's providence, Yahweh remembers the promise of God. We're brought together as husband and wife. Zechariah, the priest, goes on duty. It says, as I was reading there, that this wonderful couple birthed into homes that in the midst of darkness still somehow had the vision that Yahweh still remembers his oath. He still remembers his promise. No matter how dark things have gotten, no matter how bleak the circumstances seem to be, God still remembers his oath. They must have implanted that in Zechariah and Elizabeth's hearts, even as young children. And then Zechariah, it says that in all this godliness, there was a problem at home. Zechariah and Elizabeth had no children. It was a terrible stigma to a young couple in Israel. There was a reproach that was associated with. They had no children. Why would God deal with them that way? Why would God shut the womb of this godly couple? What was wrong with them? And it was that years had gone by of believing God and hoping God for a victory, for a child and for a son. They wanted to have that physical heritage that would connect them with God and possibly with the Messiah. And there was that hope, but years had gone by and the years of darkness had continued to go by, and finally the time had came when Zechariah and Elizabeth were now too old. Well, Elizabeth wasn't too old. She was well along in years. Too old to have children. And Zechariah's time comes for him to serve in the presence of God. And it says that as Zechariah got into that holy atmosphere, you know, there are places and there are times as believers in Jesus that we get to, and it begins to stir up old memories of the move of God. There are probably people in this church that remember exactly where you were sitting the day you got saved, or where you knelt at an altar, or where you prayed and gave. There's something about them. Those things stir up memories. Those things help you to connect with that sense of the presence of God. There's something about the presence of God that begins to cause all the darkness to lose its depth, and light begins to burst forth upon it. The dark begins to get lighter and lighter until all unbelief and all fear just begins to vanish away. And Zechariah is in this holy atmosphere. I can just see him going through these motions. It's something stirring up in the presence of omnipotence as he begins to worship God. He begins to put out incense upon the altars, and the smoke begins to arise up into heaven. And it was something in Zechariah's heart. And there must have been a prayer that began to go off in Zechariah. And all of a sudden, an angel from glory is suddenly sent with a message, a 500-year-old message that says, Zechariah, Yahweh has not forgotten his promise. Yes. And he said, you will have a son. I love that. He says, your prayers have been heard. That amazes me. Your prayers have been heard. What was he talking about? I have a feeling there was something in Zechariah in the midst of that holy atmosphere as he began to worship God. And the sense of the presence of God began to grow, that there was something that began to rise up in him. This old man with a well along in years wife suddenly began to stir up in him. And that prayer, God, that we would have a son. Because in the presence of omnipotence, all impossibilities fade away. All of a sudden, Zechariah was not overwhelmed with the fact that he was old and Elizabeth was old and there was no hope physically of them having children. Now they were in the presence of the living God, and all disabilities and all impossibilities faded away. And I said, God, you are able to do anything. All things are possible to those that believe you. You are the omnipotent God. And it was something that began to stir into his heart. The impossibilities all fail. Listen, anytime the enemy wants to start bombarding you with all the difficulties, all the impossibilities, Have you ever prayed a prayer and said, God, there's absolutely no way that we're going to get out of this problem. God, it is absolutely impossible. And the enemy will jump in that and try to discourage you. Have any of you ever spent a couple hours like really discouraged? 10, 15 minutes? Days, months, years? You know, and the enemy will just come in there. God is saying to us through this story, get into his presence. Come near to him. Begin to focus. This is not the time. This is not the time, like so many people who are being tricked of the enemy to back away and to walk away and say, I need to start working on this thing on my own. I need to start doing this on my own. I need to start to and begin to get away from the house of God and begin to press away. This is the time to press in. This is the time to get near God, because as you get near him, all of a sudden the circumstances begin to melt away. What are they in comparison with him? Zechariah is thinking, I'm an old man. But there's something in the presence of God that didn't matter anymore. Impossibilities didn't matter anymore. And all of a sudden, a prayer goes up from Zechariah in the presence of God, in the presence of the omnipotent, almighty God. And he says, God, I want to have a child. And bam, an angel comes and says, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that our God can't do. There is no difficulty. There is no insurmountable obstacle that the enemy or this world or this society can put in your path that God, with one word, can't bring you through to victory. He says, if you can believe. I get a sense that that's like a theme around here this year. Sometimes when I'm in worship, I get visions. And I had visions. You won't believe this. This just sounds weird. I had volitions of big letters, big yellow letters in the front of the church, you know? And I don't know if anyone else got that vision, but I did. And I just feel like that must be a theme. But the Bible says, if you can believe. And that word believe is in the present tense. So it's not like, okay, I'm going to give it a rip here this Sunday morning. Okay, God, I believe you can take care of me. And then I'm going to go out and say, well, what happened? It's if you can believe, that word is in the present tense. It means if you can continue to believe. Just keep on believing. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how hopeless it seems to be, I've got to keep on believing. If you can believe, he said, all things are possible. To those who believe, who keep on pressing and keep on holding on and keep on believing. In the midst of 400 years of darkness, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Yahweh remembers, gave birth to a son. And the son was named by heaven. And the son was named John. John means the grace of God. Now hear what happened. Yahweh remembers his promise, gave birth to the grace of God. Yahweh remembers. It is the faith of those who hold on and say, God, you remember your promise, and it gives birth to grace. Grace is God giving us what we can't deserve, we can't earn, we can't merit. It's God coming in and saying, you could put all of your inabilities, all of your problems, you could put all of your failures, you can put all of your unbeliefs on one end of the scale, and I'm going to speak grace on the other end, and it's going to totally outweigh. There's always enough grace. There's always more grace. It's God coming in and ministering hope into our lives. It's God speaking life into us. It's God pouring out grace into us. It's God showing us his favor. It is the favor of the God. It's the smile of the Lord upon our lives. And it is those who say, God, I believe in you. I believe in you. And I'm going to hold on. You are the God who remembers your promise. You've never failed. Your promises are always yes and amen. And I believe. And God says, I'm going to pour grace into you. Pour grace into you. And the greatest grace that God pours in, that if We come to him with all of our failure and all of our sin and say, God, I'm not worthy. You see, as soon as you start coming to Jesus with all of your needs, the devil's going to tell you how bad you are, how unworthy you are, how many times you failed, how many times you tried it and you missed it, how many times you made that big public stand, I'm going to live for Jesus, and you got out there and 3 seconds later you were not living for him. And the devil's going to remind you of all that. And God says, listen, all of your failures, all of your unbelief, all the times you tried to make it and you didn't make it, will never outweigh my grace. My grace explodes and destroys all unbelief, all fear, all failure. Come to me just like you are. Come to me just like you are. Oh, listen, it's true of those of us who have had to come to Jesus again and again to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe in you. And God says, that's enough grace. Grace on you, grace on you. I pour grace on you. And he forgives you. It's true of those of us that will battle over the needs in our homes and the needs in our families. Oh, listen, I don't know, but maybe God has allowed this crisis in America, this financial crisis in America, just to cause Christians for a while to stop looking at their employer and stop looking at their bank account and stop looking at all the things in this world that are going to just be dissolved and are just going to be burned away and are just going to disappear, but that they will get back into looking at him because he's coming soon, and he wants us to be focused on him and not focused on the stuff of this life. He wants us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth, and we just begin to focus upon him. Then maybe God is allowing all this time to teach us how it is to just believe that Yahweh remembers. Hear me, God remembers you. He remembers his promise to you. He remembers the covenants that he has made to you. He'll never renege on them. Yahweh remembers. And if you'll grasp a hold of that, then there is grace to help in the time of need. And that's God's grace for us this morning. What time is it? Oh, man, I got lots of time. I was so pressured. I was under so much pressure this morning. So much pressure. I'm not good at pressure. I don't know what to do now. God, thank you very much. Thank you so much. Well, actually, I got a lot more to say. But you know what? I just really have just sensed something in my spirit that Father God wants to do something. This is a different day. This is the first day of our week of prayer and fasting. Something happens. Pastor has shared it as he was sharing this earlier in the service. Something happens when we begin to say no to things in this life for the sake of opening ourselves up for the heavenly life. And God begins to pour grace in it. I just feel like there are those of you this morning that in this first service of this week of prayer and fasting that need the Spirit of God to pour grace into you. You need the grace of God to come in and minister in the areas of need that are in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You know, you're here, you don't even know why you're here. You just know that somebody tricked you. Said, I'll buy you breakfast. I just got to make one stop. You didn't know it was going to be church. You know? Here you are. You're like, whoa, what happened? God wants you to know that he remembers his promise. That those that confess their sins, he's faithful. He's just. Forgive us of all of our sins. Cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And Father God wants to come and minister life to you today. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray this morning before we go for those of you that are saying in the midst of this time that I've lost my focus. Maybe you're like many of those in Israel over those 400, 500 years of darkness when there seemed to be no voice from heaven, when heaven seemed to be brassed over and there was no word from God coming and you've cried out, but there was no answer, that you've become very discouraged. You've begun to doubt. The enemy has begun to fill up your heart and fill up your life. You think everything is going to be based as long as I keep my job, as long as the company is doing good, everything may be all right. And God wants to say to you today, begin to look at me. Begin to focus upon me. Begin to believe like you've never believed before, that I will never break down. I'll never fail. I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never give up on you. I'll never stop in the middle of stream and start a new program. This is it. I'm committed to you. I want you to bow your heads with me all over the room. We're going to begin to pray right now that there will come into this place a presence of the anointed one, Jesus, to begin to bring over grace all over us. Grace is God's final word on the matter. The enemy thought he had won a great battle when he had caused Adam and Eve, our first parents, to sin. He said, now I've got them. Now I've got mankind. The soul that sins, it'll die. There's nothing they can do. There's no way they can get out of it. I've got them now. And he was right to an extent. But then God introduced them to grace. That's God saying, devil, you've done your best, but you never counted on the grace of God that cleanses and forgives of every sin, that washes and makes people new, that pays the price for their sin. Oh, we celebrated that as we partook of this communion. That's what that's all about. That was a grace meal. That was God reminding us that the price has been paid, that Yahweh remembers his oath. God remembered his promise, sent his son, and gives grace to you. And I ask you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you say, Brother Bob, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. On this first day of this week of prayer and fasting, at beginning this new year, I want to surrender my life to him. I want to surrender my life to him. Oh, it's not like Pastor Mike was talking about going to the gym and starting over, trying to turn over a new leaf. It is saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I don't have the willpower. I need a Savior. I need you to cleanse me. I need to be forgiven. If that's your desire, that's your prayer. You say, Brother Bob, pray for me today. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to know him as my Lord and Savior. Would you slip up your hand real quick? I want to just see it. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to believe God right now for you all over this room. You say, I need God to forgive me. I need God to cleanse me. Real quickly. I need the grace of God in my life. I need the grace of God in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, right now, pour out your forgiveness, pour out your grace, pour out your mercy. Let life and wholeness and healing begin to flow, oh God, over your church and over your people. And now, Lord, I pray for your church. Lord, I pray for those that may have gone through a whole year. Lord, there are some that are in here saying, thank God 2008 is over. May have been the hardest year of my life. Lord, there are those that are here that are saying, God, it just seems like heaven has been so silent. It seems like I've been on my own. I've been working. I've begun to fear. I've begun to doubt. But today I want to grasp a hold of the fact that you remember. And I yield myself to you afresh today. Lord, I want to make a stand and say, I believe. I believe, oh God, in you. I will receive your grace in my life. Father, I pray for each one, Lord, that's going through those difficult times right now. The burdens on their hearts, burdens in their lives. Lord, those that are having difficulties with their jobs. Some here, Lord, that have lost jobs, that can't pay their mortgage, can't pay their rent, can't pay their bills. Lord, that all the things just seem to be crushing in on them. Some that are struggling with home life and family life and marriages. Lord, the enemy wants to wreak havoc even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we stand here as a people of God who believe in you, who know, God, that our future is not based on the economy of this world. Our future is based on the economy of heaven that will last forever. And so now, Father, I just pray life to begin to flow. Victory, would you just wrap your arms around people right now? Those that are wounded, those that are hurting, those that are struggling. But if that's you, I want you to just stand right where you're at. You say, Brother Bob, I just need God to minister to me today. I need God's grace to be minister in my life. Just stand right all over the room, right where you're at. We're going to just believe God for victory all over this room. That's it. We're going to believe God for victory. God, listen, God knows where you're at. God knows where He hasn't forgotten. And hundreds of years of darkness were destroyed in a moment with an angel from a message from heaven who reminded a young priest, or an older priest now, that God has not forgotten, Zechariah. God's not forgotten. And the word of the Lord is to you today. God's not forgotten you. God's not forgotten you. Let faith arise in your spirit right now. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Some of you that are sitting near someone standing, just stand with them. Put your arm on their hand on their shoulder. Let's just begin to pray. Let's begin to pray for one another. This is the house of God. This is the family of God ministering to one another, ministering life to each other. Oh, Rabba Karabasa. Just begin to pray for them. Just speak life into their hearts right now. Oh, just speak life into their soul right now. Father, we just speak the life of heaven. You said if we can believe, all things are possible to those that believe. Lord, you are one that comes to the aid of those who look to you. And Lord, these that have stood today stood because they believe. And so, Father, I pray life to flow into them. Lord, that you would minister wholeness into their lives. Lord, those that are battling with all the situations of this world, those that are battling with home issues, with family issues, with marriage issues, with job issues, with health issues, even now, oh God, would you speak life and wholeness into their lives? Oh, Spirit of the living God, come in all of your power, in all of your majesty. Oh God, come on, just begin to love Him. Just begin to love Him. Folks, cry out for those that are sitting near you or standing near you. Cry out to God for them right now. Cry out to God for them. Father, we speak the grace of heaven over their lives right now. We speak the grace of Jesus over their lives right now. God knows your need. God knows your burden. He hears your cry. Oh, Lord, right now, let the power of God begin to arise in hearts and lives and cause those to stand. Cause them to stand, oh God, after having done all to stand. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, well, we call forth life to flow right now. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, blessed be your name. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I receive it right now. We receive it right now. Let faith arise 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 right now in your people. Let there come that godly assurance. That assurance. That confidence. Oh God. Oh Lord, those that wait on you will never be ashamed. Those that wait on you will never be ashamed. Those that trust you, God, will never be put to shame. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's just lift our hands, just begin to love Him. Let's just worship the Lord right now. Everyone, let's just begin to worship Him. Come on, lift your voice and begin to worship the Lord. Let's begin to worship Him. Oh, blessed Jesus. Holy, holy, holy Lord. Holy Lord. Holy Lord. Holy Lord. Holy One. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Would you lift your voice and praise Him? Just begin to thank Him right now. Just begin to put expressions of worship to your faith. Allow that to rise. Oh, let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise today. Let it rise today. Oh, Holy One. Oh, Holy One.